is disturbed by gadflies and mosquitoes, and sometimes locusts, birds of prey, and rats give him trouble. Nonetheless, he still wanders down the path of material existence. Due to ignorance, he becomes lusty and engages in furtive activity. Because his mind is absorbed in those activities, he sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria, a house in the sky. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. The following song is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Ahankari Matpahaya Nithaya Padapasariya Asatyene Satya Kodhimani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth, and opulence, one thinks the false temporary material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. The living entity is eternal and blissful, but despite miserable material conditions, he thinks the material world to be real and factual due to his ignorance. The Shastras inform us that there are essentially two types of household life. Griha maybe. When one's household life is based on the illusion that we are these bodies and that the purpose of our life is to find enjoyment with these bodies, then we work very hard and we try to accumulate more and more facilities in order to provide more sense gratification to ourselves and to our family. And whatever we have to be very diligent to protect, to secure for the future. This condition is a great illusion, simply because sense gratification only creates complications and the bondage of suffering. Although the householder is trying to find happiness, he's going or she's going in the wrong direction for real happiness. Bhagavatam describes the desire for material happiness and the endeavors that we make definitely by the laws of nature will give us exactly the opposite result of what we hope for. We're hoping for pleasure, and in the end we will definitely get pain. We're hoping for happiness, and we will suffer. Yehi samsparashita bhoga bhuka jaunaya atyanta banta kaunteya nate shivamateya. Therefore, an intelligent person understands that the pleasures between the senses and the objects are temporary and they're the source of our misery. If we simply can somehow or other give up the aspiration for material enjoyment, we'll never have to suffer again. However, the soul by nature is Satchidananda, it is seeking pleasure. How can the soul ever give up the quest for happiness? Grihastha life means understanding that we are the eternal soul. And our constitutional position is that we are the servants of the Lord. And therefore, the husband and wife unite and raise the children with Krishna's enjoyment in the center of all of our relationships. Krishna explains in Gita what tastes like poison at the beginning tastes like nectar in the end, but what tastes like nectar in the beginning with poison and terrible in the end. Material enjoyment gives an immediate sense of pleasure, but the complications of material bondage and the sufferings that come through that are worse and more deadly than poison. Niskinchanasya bhagavad vajanomukasya paramparam jagamasur bhagasagarasya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, for one who is desiring to cross over this ocean of material suffering, to associate with sense gratification or those too much attached to sense gratification, is worse than drinking poison willingly. Not like drinking poison willingly, but worse. Because if you drink the poison of this temporary world in the form of some drink or tablet, the worst it could do is cause the death of this temporary body, which is going to die anyway, today or tomorrow. But by engaging in sense gratification or associating with those people who induce us towards sense gratification, we are killing the very instincts of our soul, which is to serve the Lord. And thus, through this process, we have to suffer terribly, ariyatmaka, aridayataka, aribhautaka, birth after birth after birth after birth. Vrihastha means, with transcendental guidance and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we keep Krishna in the center of our life, knowing although some tapasya, some simplicity, some hardship may be there for the purpose of living a life of devotional service, in the end it will bring about the ultimate experience of tasting the nectar of devotion. Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. Since time immemorial, we have been contaminating our consciousness with various desires and activities. Karmically, we are bound. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compares the mind to a mirror. We have been accumulating dust, dirt, and the contaminating debris of envious material activities for millions of births. Our mind obscures any perception of our true self. The process of bhakti, beginning with hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and the association of devotees, is the process of cleansing the mirror of the mind. It's easier to make something dirty than to clean it, is it not? You don't have to do much to allow things to be dirty. You don't have to do anything that will get dirty. The nature of this world, if you leave anything alone, it will just become dirty and deteriorate. If any of you have ever seen a 100-year-old house that nobody lived in for 100 years, it's broken down, everything is crumbling, it's filthy, there's rats, there's spider webs, everything is, it's a mess. But a 100-year house where people are maintaining it and cleaning it, it's considered something that everyone wants to see, very beautiful. So to keep anything clean is an austerity that takes hard work, that is maintenance. But to let something, to just leave something alone means it becomes filthy and it begins to deteriorate. So if we are not very attentive, very active, very dynamic, to work hard and perform the austerity of every day, cleaning the mirror of our mind, it will just become more and more filthy by nature's course. Not only will it remain dirty, it will get dirtier and dirtier at every moment. Unless we are constantly performing the tapasya of cleaning. So vihasta life means a life of tapasya. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapo divyam putra kayena sadvam sujayasyam kamasokyanapanatam. Srila Prabhupada describes all ashrams, human existence, they are all meant for tapasya and no other. In brahmacharya life, what is the tapasya? What is a real brahmacharya? Srila Prabhupada explains what a real brahmacharya is on the basis of shastra. A brahmacharya will not even consider eating unless guru says, now it is time to eat. He will fast. No sense gratification. No suffering interest. Prabhupada says brahmacharya is like a sold animal to his spiritual master. Anything, whatever, he will do it without expecting anything in return. That is tapasya. And vihasta life was meant for the same tapasya, but in a different mode. According to one's natural state of consciousness, as well as how one can best serve the Lord, one accepts a particular one of these four ashrams. The vihasta ashram is meant for tapasya. It is meant to give up sense gratification. It is not meant for sense gratification. There is a sanction for certain regulated sense gratification. But to regulate anything in this material world is a tapasya. Because the mind and senses want more and more and more. And if we allow our mind and senses to dictate the direction of our life, we are grihamedis, living in a deep, dark well where we call for help and no one can even hear us. But when we regulate that sense gratification and ultimately try to utilize all the assets and all of the association we have within our family for the service of Krishna, for the service of Guru, for the service of the Vaishnavas, it's very difficult to do that. But that is the process of cleansing the mirror of the heart. And by doing that, in any of our ashrams, we can achieve the ultimate perfection of love. Anaprastha, when the children are older, when there's no need for any more worldly responsibilities, family maintenance, the husband and wife together completely dedicate themselves to hearing, chanting, and serving the Lord. And sannyas means socially you're a dead person. You have no more connections to any of the enjoyments of this world. Body, mind, words, and life are meant to be exclusively dedicated to the service of Sri Guru and Gauranga. So we should never be looking for an easier, more comfortable way of life in any of the ashrams. We should always be looking for a higher level of dedication and surrender. And then we progressively make real advancement. And that advancement, it is joyfully performed if it is done in the proper association and we maintain nice sadhana. Actually, Kevala Ananda Kanda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is simply joyful. If we just open our minds and hearts to the higher taste, simple living and high thinking is blissful love. But if we try to perform the tapasyas and we are not aspiring for the nectar of kirtan and japa and harikatha and humble seva, then our tapasya will simply be miserable. But if our tapasya is to increase our spiritual activities, then it becomes full of bliss. We see when householders, when they no longer participate in the congregational chanting of the holy names wholeheartedly, when they no longer take seriously the chanting of japa, when they no longer are really, as an austerity, acting eager to hear the Bhagavad, the Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, to read the books, when they're no longer eager to serve the mission in some way, then tapasya becomes a miserable situation for them. How will we live without these comforts? How will we live without this sense gratification? Param drisvani varthukha tani saravani samyamya yutha atisitamantara sasehinyasya. We must simultaneously cultivate the higher taste while we are giving up the lower things of material enjoyment. And those who are actually, as in austerity, eager for kirtan on a regular basis, eager to chant their japa as best they possibly can, eager to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve the mission of Mahaprabhu. To such persons in household life, giving up material comforts and enjoyment is blissful. There's a meaning, there's a purpose, there's a fulfillment behind it. But when we neglect the basic principles of Krishna consciousness, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering, and developing nice association amongst Vaishnavas, exchanging the six relationships Rupa Goswami describes, then tapasya seems very, very harsh and cold and impossible. But what is the purpose of life? Srila Prabhupada explains, unless we hear such wonderful verses like today, we will become complacent, forgetful. We will lose the perception of our real intelligence. And again, by the influence of the illusory energy, we will be trapped in the clutches of the illusion that if I just get something else of this material world, it will bring some relief. It will give my life some happiness. Srimad Bhagavatam, in no unclear terms, completely crushes the misconception that you can be happy by any arrangement in this material world. People are thinking that by my good intelligence, or my skills, or the help of others, I can make some sort of arrangement to relieve my sufferings in this world. But to the degree we are under this illusion, to this degree, birth after birth we have to suffer. No doubt, it is our natural duty to protect the body, and to keep body and soul together, and to try to create as conducive an atmosphere within our environment as possible. But we should never forget the principle that the only solution to the difficult problems of this world is taking shelter of Krishna. Kuri Kunti pray, when a person is endowed with material wealth, high birth, physical beauty, and good knowledge, which are all great, great opulences that people aspire to achieve. They are disqualifications for self-realization. They only serve to further incriminate a person in the illusion and sufferings of ignorance, because they make one proud. Even a devotee, when we become attached to these things, we become proud. And with that pride, it is not possible to helplessly and humbly call out the holy names of Krishna. and Krishna is our only shelter. Srila Prabhupada describes in the introduction to the Vaishnava songbook that was printed many years ago that in the whole world, the only safe place is where the devotees are gathered together to chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Ahankar Matahaya Nitai Padapasariya Asatyene Satya Kodimani. Due to forgetting the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and being puffed up by material possessions, wealth and opulence, one thinks the false temporary material world to be an actual fact. This is the material disease. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu have descended in this age of Kali Yuga to give us the transcendental medicine that can cure this terrible disease. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami prays in the beginning of one chapter that I am suffering from boils due to envy. I am suffering by the germs of material attachment. In this condition, I fall in an ocean of humility and take shelter of the great physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is the supreme physician because he is the only of all physicians who has come to give us the medicine that will cure the suffering which is the root of all pain. Material ignorance. And what is that medicine? Service to Vaishnava. And the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And the diet, we take Krishna's prasad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his most infinite mercy, he sent Lord Nityananda Prabhu to give this medicine to everyone and anyone without any discrimination. In the Western world, and I guess in the East also, sometimes when people are really, really sick, the doctor gives what is called house calls. He comes right to your house to give you medicine. Nityananda Prabhu, he would go house after house after house, giving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's medicine to everyone. Take the names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda Prabhu, when they were living in Jagannath Puri, that if you remain here with me, then who will deliver all the fallen souls? You must go out and distribute Krishna Nam and Krishna Prema to everyone. Do not consider what is their birth, what is their past, whether they are sinful or pious, whether they are old or young, whether they are rich or poor, educated or uneducated. Give everyone the chance to take this medicine of Harinam and Krishna Bhakti. The message that Lord Chaitanya gave to Lord Nityananda Prabhu was very simple. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Give Krishna's teachings to others. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real treasure of life. And he is your life and soul. Nityananda Prabhu was given several associates, intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. And they came from Jagannath Puri to Bengal. Wonderful story told what types of kirtans they were performing on the way. They came to Panihati. There Lord Nityananda Prabhu, just by his glance, was maddening everyone with ecstatic love of Krishna. He came to Kardaha, Saptagram, he came to Shantipur. After meeting the Dvaitacharya, he came here to Srinavani Dham. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to Srinavani Dham, the first place to visit was the house of Srimati Sachi Devi. Lord Nityananda Prabhu fell at the lotus feet of Mother Sachi, taking the dust of her feet on his head. Sachi Mata was so happy. She began crying tears of joy. "Oh my Lord," she said, "in my heart I have been praying to see you. And because you are the super soul in everyone's heart, you understood my prayer and have come to give me your beautiful darshan. I am feeling so much unhappiness in my separation, but you have given me great life. Please remain here for 10 days or 20 days or 1 month." Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he replied that, "I have come to Navadvip only to see you, O Sachi Devi, and to worship you. With your permission, I will remain in Navadvip." Then Nityananda Prabhu began to dance and chant in kirtan constantly with his associates. That was his only activity, was the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Here in Navadvip, he would go from house to house, practically every single house. And what would he do? He would raise his arms very high and induce everyone to dance and chant the holy names, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It is explained that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in Navadvip, he delivered a major part of the population of Srinagar. In those days, Navadvip was like Mathura at the time of Krishna. It was so populated with so many very, very learned, wealthy people. It was an opulent place, like a kingdom. However, there were many people who were so sinful, were so proud, were so offensive, that they did not accept Krishna Prema or Krishna Kirtan from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Nityananda Prabhu came from Orissa on the order of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he came and delivered Krishna Bhakti to every one of the residents of Navadvip. And how is this done? There is a story with one example. There is a Brahmin who was born here in Nadia. He had every good opportunity to perfect his life in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living here. The whole Panchatattva was performing kirtan in the streets. But still, some people were so sinful and envious, they did not accept the mercy that was pouring upon them. This Brahmin was one. He would kill Brahmins, he would kill cows, he would rob, steal, every type of sinful activity due to bad association. His heart was spoiled. So he saw Lord Nityananda dancing and chanting with his devotees. And Lord Nityananda would often stay at night at the house of one great devotee in Hiranyakunda, who was very poor by material standards. So he saw Lord Nityananda dancing and chanting with his devotees. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu would often stay at night at the house of one great devotee named Hiranyakunda, who was very poor by material standards. He lived in a simple house, but yet he was very rich in love for Krishna. This Brahmana, he saw how Lord Nityananda Prabhu was decorated. In Jagannathpur, Lord Chaitanya ordered Lord Nityananda Prabhu to decorate his body with beautiful jewelry and silks and preach. Actually, once when Lord, after Navadvip, Lord Nityananda went to Lord Chaitanya in Puri, and Lord Chaitanya seeing the beautiful ornaments on Nityananda Prabhu, he said, "These ornaments are not material. They are the personifications of the nine processes of devotional service decorating your body." Lord Nityananda Prabhu said to Lord Chaitanya, "I do not understand your inconceivable will. You have told all the other Grihasthas that they should live very simple, renounced lives, and you have told me to decorate my body with beautiful jewelry, silks, and other ornaments." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing he was Balaram himself, wanted him to deliver the world with Hari Kirtan in this beautiful decorated fashion. So this Navadvip Brahmin dacoit, he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu had a necklace that was made out of gold and pearls and diamonds, rubies, emeralds. And he had earrings made out of gold and jewels. And he had another necklace which was made out of pure pearl. And he had bracelets around his wrist and bracelets around his arms made out of gold and jewels. He wore pure silver ankle belts. And his turban was wrapped with three different colors of luxurious silk. And anyone who would just see him would become so attracted to his unlimited, infinite beauty. He dressed just as Balaram would dress in Vrindavan. And everywhere, and in great humility, he was falling at people's feet, begging them, "Please take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Chant the holy names. Make your life perfect. Give up your sins and be happy." So this Brahmin thief, he associated with Nityananda Prabhu just to find out whatever knowledge was to be known, how to rob him by any means. He pretended to be like an associate, but actually he simply wanted to exploit the Lord, even if it meant harm or killing. He had to get those jewels. So he went to the other thieves within his gang. He was the leader. He was the commander-in-chief amongst the thieves. He told them that by the
grace of Goddess Durga, all of our desires will be fulfilled. Usually a thief has to go here, there, and everywhere else to somehow or other survive. But he said, by Durga's mercy, everything we ever need to be wealthy for the rest of our lives are in one place on this one man's body. Just see the value of these jewels. All in one place. Tonight, we will steal them. Bring your weapons. They brought swords, knives, daggers, tridents. Then he sent a spy to watch, to see when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was going to take rest. The spy came back and said that right now he's eating prasad. And in all four directions around him, devotees are loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. So the thief said, let us wait. When he's sleeping, we will attack. So under a tree, they waited. But Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he knows the innermost desires of everyone's heart. Because he is the Paramatma, he's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of himself. What does he have to fear? In the mere expansion of his expansion of Ananta Shesha, if he simply moves his body a little, all the universe is shaken. So, Lord Nityananda Prabhu sent one of his servants, whose name is Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep. And by her influence, all the dacoits fell asleep. Soundscape throughout the entire night. As the sun was rising, the birds began to sing, the crows began to caw, caw. And the thieves woke up. They saw it was light, and their weapons were in their hands where everyone could see. So they immediately started hiding their weapons. And they started fighting with each other. You fell asleep first. You were supposed to wake me up light. You were sleeping the most soundly. The Brahmin, he stopped the argumentation. He said, actually, we did not worship Durga Devi before this auspicious activity that we were about to perform. Therefore, she did not allow us to perform it. Tonight, we will have puja at Durga Devi. So they offered her meat and blood in a tantric sacrifice. Then they dressed in all black clothes. And they took their weapons, swords, daggers, tridents, clubs. That night was very dark. In the darkness of the night, they surrounded the house. When they came closer, they saw these gigantic gods whose bodies resembled mountains. Each one of these gods were big enough and strong enough to kill 100 thieves single-handedly. And they had weapons raised in the air, and they were all chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. The thieves became very frightened. The Brahmin said, this is not an auspicious time. He will come back. One thief was saying, I've heard he's a great saintly yogi. Maybe he has created these gigantic gods by his mystic power just to kill us. They were speculating in so many ways. But the Brahmin, who was the leader, he said, no, I know what happened. Some
important person, maybe an emissary of the king, has gone to meet Nityananda. And while he's there, the guides are there. But soon he will leave and the guides will leave also. Then we will attack. And the thieves were thinking and talking amongst themselves, when we rob him, I will get his necklace. The other said, I have claims to his bracelets made out of pearls and gold. I have claims to his silver anklets. I have claim to the beautiful earrings hanging from his ears. They had all their plans very nicely agreed upon. Some days went by, the guards were gone. And this next particular night, there was big, strange clouds in the sky of Navadvipa. And the whole environment was pitch black. This was the most perfect, auspicious arrangement for thieves to perform their work. It was a fearful night. No one in all of Navadvipa would even leave their house. It was so dark. Except these thieves. Each one of them had 10 to 20 weapons. I'm sorry, 5 to 10 weapons in their hands. All varieties of weapons for slaughter. And they surrounded the house. Closer, closer, and closer. Their hearts were obviously throbbing with the lustful, greedy aspiration of achieving these jewels. They came closer and closer. Suddenly, they all became completely blind. Their eyes had no power to operate or see anything. In their blindness, they didn't know where they were going. One of the thieves fell into a dish, fell into this disgusting, gross-smelling garbage, and mosquitoes and scorpions began to eat him and sting him all over his body as he was screaming in pain without being able to see to get out. Another thief fell into a whole bush of thorns. Every single limb of his body was being stabbed by these sword-like thorns. And if he moved any limb, the thorns would just stab deeper and deeper into him. Another thief, he fell into a canal. And when he fell in that canal, his hands, legs, feet, and limbs were all broken to pieces. Another thief just fell down with intensely high, deadly fever. They were trapped. They could not move. They could not see. They were screaming in pain. But Indra, as the great servant of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, decided to participate in this lila. Clouds came into the black sky and started showering down torrents and torrents and torrents of rain. Then it became freezing cold. The rain turned into hail. Hail means big balls of solid ice. These ice balls were just showering down in great force upon the skulls and the limbs of these thieves who were laying there being torn apart by thorns and stung by scorpions, bitten by leeches and mosquitoes. They were trembling due to the cold, and the hail and the rain was just pounding against their bodies. They were screaming in agony, suffering helplessly. In this condition, they came to the point where each and every one of them were on the verge of death, then all simultaneously, in their own hearts, they became very repentant. The Brahmin leader began to think in his miserable suffering that I'm about to die. Lord Nityananda is not an ordinary person. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Due to the covering of material illusion, I could not see that. Due to my attraction for his jewels, I could not see who he is. We fell asleep all night long the first day. By his grace. Those big guards were sent by him, and now all these storms and sufferings are being sent by him, by his mercy. I deserved to suffer. I wanted to commit harm to him. Therefore, I am the lowest, most sinful and degraded of all beings. But when one is in the most fallen condition and commits an offense against the Lord, he has no other shelter but the Lord himself. Just as if you were walking and you trip on the earth. Tripping means you kick the earth. You kick the earth and you fall. What is your shelter? The earth. Similarly, when we offend the Lord in any way, our only shelter is the Lord himself. This sinful Brahmin, that boy, his heart was so transformed by this miserable condition of life that with pure love he took utter shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He began to pray to Lord Nityananda Prabhu that this is all your mercy. If you somehow release me from this most miserable condition, I vow I will surrender to you and be your servant. Whether I live or die, my Lord, I am your eternal servant, and I will worship you with love. When that Brahman meditated on Lord Nityananda Prabhu and helplessly took shelter of him in his miserable condition, Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy opened up his eyes. All the mosquitoes and leeches and thorns went away. The clouds and the cold and the rain and hail disappeared. All of this gang of thieves began to walk and stumble as if they were on the verge of death. They all went to their homes and they went to the Ganges to bathe. First thing in the morning, this Brahmin went to Hiranya Pandit's house where Guru Nityananda Prabhu was staying. And there he came in before Lord Nityananda and he called out with great, great devotion, "Save me, my Lord, save me." Then he offered his dandavat pranams, prostrated obeisances unto the lotus feet of Nityananda. Then he looked at the beautiful form of Lord Nityananda, and in ecstatic love, he began to weep. His hair started standing on end. He began to dance and dance, sometimes rolling on the ground. The devotees did not know what to think. Some of the devotees were thinking, he's just pretending to be a Vaishnava, and at the least expected moment he will attack us. And others were thinking, Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is so great that even the most cruel-hearted, evil dacoit has become a Vaishnava. This person was so evil and so cruel, there was not one tiny speck of a grain of kindness in his whole body. But now he was dancing in ecstatic love. Lord Nityananda Prabhu asked him, "Why are you behaving like this? What have you seen? What have you done? Please tell me." Ram and Vyasa are inside.
I was born in a Brahmin family in this most holy city of Navadvipa. But due to bad association, I have become cruel since my very earliest childhood. I have killed Brahmins. I have killed and eaten the cow. I have mercilessly tortured others. I am the most sinful of all sinners. When I saw your beautiful jewelry, I wanted to cause any amount of harm to you to get it. See my fallen condition. But by your mercy, you put us to sleep one night. You created the gods of another night. And last night you had rainstorms and hailstorms, insects and thorns torturing us in the freezing cold. In that miserable condition, I understood who you really are. I have come here to surrender to my life to you. You are my only hope. Your mercy is my only shelter. Please, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, give me the shade of your lotus feet. When the devotees heard his humility, all the devotees began offering their obeisances to this dacoit. And then the dacoit spoke again. Because with this body, I desire to cause harm to you. I must give up my life. I will go to the river Ganges and I will die by drowning this body. Lord Nityananda Prabhu then spoke. He said, there is no need. All of your sins, all of your karma, for all your previous births, I have taken it myself. Now you are completely liberated and free. Do not ever commit any cruel, unkind, or sinful act again. Associate with the devotees of the Lord. Worship Krishna. And always chant His holy name. What I want you to do is I want you to approach all the other criminals and thieves and I want you to bring them to the path of bhakti. Give them the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by giving them Harinam Kirtan. When the thief heard this, he was filled with bliss. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu took the garland that was decorating his own body and placed it on the thief. And all the devotees, seeing this, began to chant, Jai, Jai! Then this Brahman said to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, please, I have one aspiration. Give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Sri Nityananda Prabhu then placed his beautiful lotus feet on the head of the Brahman. And by doing so, accepted him as one of his intimate associates and filled his consciousness with pure, unalloyed devotional service. And empowered him to preach. Any thief or dacoit that would approach this Brahman and come to his house, he would give them the message of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He began preaching to all of the dacoits and criminals. And soon, all the criminals of Navadvipa became Vaishnavas. They gave up all sinful activities, lived very simple, austere lives. And wherever anyone would see them, they were crying in great love, dancing together and chanting the holy names of Krishna. This is the inconceivable power of Lord Nityananda.
actually in this world, we are all, to one extent or other,
like these thieves.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is making His mercy available to everyone. But the people of this world, rather than accepting the supreme jewel of the mercy of the Lord, we want to steal the ornaments from the Lord's body. Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva Lokamaheshwara Lokaram Sarvamaheshwara, that I am the supreme enjoyer of everything. Everything is my property. Every time we have the aspiration to enjoy any of the articles of material nature, we are, so to speak, trying to steal the property of the Lord to enjoy for ourselves. Everything in this world are the ornaments meant to decorate Krishna. Today, Sri Sri Radha Madhav Astasakis, so beautifully they are decorated. Such beautiful silk and jewels. And devotees are finding such great joy just beholding the infinitely beautiful darshan of Sri Sri Radha Madhav. Pankajangari Prabhu is trying to teach us this principle by his causeless mercy. He's sitting there with a little torn piece of cloth around his shoulder. And yet he's bedecking the deities with the most beautiful, costly ornaments and clothes. He sleeps on the floor, and he has beautiful silken beds for the deities. And he's dancing and chanting in great happiness. He has achieved the jewel of Krishna in Sri Radharani. And we are trying to steal the jewels that are decorating them. Very much. Not you, me. That is material life. Everything is meant for the service of Krishna. Everything is meant to decorate the deity of Krishna. But we want to take it for ourselves, for our own pleasure. And in doing so, we are hurting the heart of Krishna. What is the remedy to people who have been performing these sinful activities of trying to exploit and enjoy the property of God birth after birth after birth? Ahankari matavaya nipatara bhasariya asatyare satya parimani. The mercy of Lord Nityananda. It is our own. He is the most magnificent. Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda are the most kind and benevolent of all avatars. Paramakaruna pahunduri jana mithai gaurachanda. Hava avatar parasiromani kevala anandakanda. The most merciful, supremely merciful, the essence of all avatars, and they have given us a medicine that is so nice. The process of Krishna consciousness is joyful, chanting, dancing, and feasting. When in other yugas we had to perform such severe tapasya with such focus of the concentration, impossible in this age of Kali. But if we just follow these four regulative principles, adopt the blissful mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, hear the beautiful stories and teachings of the Lord, and chant His holy names, and dance, and take prasad by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can all achieve the ultimate perfection of liberation, Krishna Prema. Srila Prabhupada has so kindly, as the most intimate empowered representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, distributed this mercy to all of us, all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.